Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Yeah, it's pretty miserable. And it is, well, just one frame of reference. I mean, I just turned 65. I got a friend in Haiti. We work together really closely. He's, if not my age, a little younger, but not much. So he goes all the way back to Duvalier. And I just asked him, I said, you know, how do you measure the last, whatever, six decades of history? He said, this right now is the worst it's ever been. So frame of reference is pretty bad. And that's going through an awful lot. That's going through an earthquake and, you know, all these different periods of ups and downs. But he said it's just a daily struggle now because of the gangs and the way they've kind of locked down everything. So that's, you know, the short-term frame of reference. The rest of it all, it's a little bit like, and you don't want to just blame the international community for everything. And I think that's actually not a good move for Haitians, because whatever's happened has happened. A lot of times you talk to Haitians and you get a history lesson, and I say, I got the history. We got to move on. Let's see where we go from here. But it was, you know, it's a society that's, they're actually very skilled in a lot of ways. They used to have a corner on the market of the baseball industry back in the 60s and 70s. They made all the world's baseballs. Incredibly talented artisans. And that sounds, you know, quaint, but there's actually a lot of that has been. That they had, you know, great factories for textiles, kind of a easy place to do textiles when things are stable. Again, a very hardworking, talented population. They flourish everywhere they go. So there's, you know, it's not the people. It's the system, and it is a system that internal to Haiti, not just because of us, has been very predatory. A great divide between the country and the city, which is another set of problems. But, you know, lots of potential. We didn't do many favors in a couple of places. We made them kill all their pigs at one point because we were afraid of some kind of swine flu or something. And then that never recovered. So you had this really kind of important part of their protein and their agriculture that never, ever recovered. There's a lot of, you know, bad policies that they came up with themselves, but we, again, didn't help. We kind of destroyed their rice industry at a certain point. And then we embargoed them. You got to really think about some of these embargoes. You know, we had a short-term political objective during the coup period. So in the early 90s, we're trying to get them back on track without intervention. At some point, you got to ask yourself, maybe an intervention would have been less costly to everybody. But we pretty much wiped out their industrial base in the 90s with the embargo. They never really recovered from that either. So it's not to blame everything on us. And they certainly could have done better recovering from some of this on their own. But we haven't done them any favors. So it's been a real grind agriculturally, industrially. It's just really, and they've never quite found their footing. I will say this, it's amazing to me that the tenacity.
Well, it sounds like we keep tripping them a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not just that they don't find their footing. It's that their biggest and most powerful neighbor keeps pushing them down.
Yeah. Yeah. That is fair. And then times we could have been helpful, not always the right thing. There was a big debate when I was there in the 90s, and it's a great debate. And I think it's one we need to have more frequently. It came up again when I was in Iraq and we really railed over this, but there's a question about in a country that's so battered and we're trying to get them back on their feet, do we run them through a neoliberal reform program or do we just get people back to work, get to the neoliberal stuff later? But we've done this a few places, and I think Haiti, it was a huge mistake. There was a lot of people at the time that I wasn't in that field. I was doing security and justice. But I remember Robert Oakley, a pretty famous ambassador that was writing about this at the time. He said, you know, they need jobs right now, and we need to get to political stability first, and then you can do some of this other stuff. The model that came up later in when I was in Iraq, it was really interesting because I remember Ambassador Bremer was arguing, no, we got to get the Iraqis to a proper neoliberal framework and cut all the state-owned enterprises and get their economy righted, and then private sector will come in and run wild and everybody will have jobs. And all of us in the field, I was in Al Anbar, and Petraeus is up in the north, Odierno's up in somewhere, Dempsey's there. We had the whole future leadership of the U.S. military there. And everybody just said, you got to be kidding. We need jobs. We have got young men running around with guns, and they will either shoot people or we'll put them to work. But we did that in Haiti. We just they crushed them through a neoliberal kind of program. And it was Aristide fought against it. He had a lot of bad decisions, a lot of bad inclinations. But I think that might have been one where he was absolutely right. So that period when we could have, in my opinion, favored jobs first, got people to work, even make work stuff and infuse into the economy, that probably would have bought.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The political stability to then get to some of the other stuff later. That was kind of the Hungarian program. And it was interesting in Iraq that somebody, I think it was Bremer himself, pointed to Hungary as the example. I said, I'm on loan from the embassy in Hungary. I'm living there now. And I can tell you that is not what they did. They're the darling of the transitional economies of Eastern Europe, but mainly because they took 4 years under their first post-communist government and they stabilized the political situation while they left the economy alone. And then they went through the Bocros plan and did the reforms. So anyway, that's, I think we have, you know, we get in a hurry. We want to rush through it. We want the private sector in there. We don't want to spend all this money. And then on the back end, we end up spending billions on security where we could have bought ourselves out of it at pretty low cost doing some smarter stuff.
I mean, and Haiti's almost a special case in that it's very small. I mean, you would think that how much money would it really have cost?
It's modest. You know, again, people, it's so funny to me because we throw these figures around. Well, we spent billions of dollars. You start adding it up, prorating it across the population, prorating it across whatever decades we're talking about, it's not that much money. It's pretty modest in the end. And again, if you start adding up the balance sheet of what we then spend on security missions that might not have been necessary, we've been in our own way a lot, and there's been some things that would have been probably easier to do a different way.
So what does the imposition of a top-down neoliberal order look like in Haiti? What are you doing instead of providing people jobs?
Well, you know, it's cutting all the state-owned industries and trying to attract the private sector, but again, without always the incentives to do that. Fiscal monetary policies that would be hard on people, even on food security sometimes. The whole package that comes in with a strong IMF program.
So it's like the International Monetary Fund comes in, cuts a huge loan, and then country is slowly eaten alive by trying to pay back that loan over the next, you know, however many decades, that kind of classic.
Yeah, the loan, but the loan would be actually the least of the problems. It would be all the conditions that the loan comes with. And, you know, reduce the size of government. It's reasonable stuff. So, you know, are you ready to throw people out of work from state-owned enterprises that are inefficient? Are you ready to throw people out of work from, you know, all these different, for example, the security forces? I mean, it's another place where it's really kind of acute. We demobilized, they demobilized the army. That's a whole other issue on security. Aristide was afraid of a coup, justifiably. He'd already had one, and he was afraid of another one. So he disbanded the army. Well, now you got all these guys running around without work that are also armed and everything else. There's not an easy answer to this because, and we're going to go through this again with the gangs because we're going to have to do another a demobilization program for these gangs. And it's a real kicker because the people are looking at this and saying, look, these are the guys that wrecked our country. And now they're getting better jobs than me. You got to be kidding. But absent that, they're going to continue to be predators on society. So it's a hard thing. Nobody has an easy answer to that. But in the short term, you know, throwing out all these guys out of work. So, you know, it's fiscal monetary policy that makes things harder, exchange rates and everything else. And then it's the, you know, again, kicking people out of work from state-owned enterprises, from security forces, from government. Those are the kind of things that I think leaving some of that alone for a bit, you know, on medical care and all the rest, you know, it's expensive to do that through the state, but if that's going to produce that short-term stability, you know, probably a longer transition is a better answer. Again, the security forces are where it's really acute. War
never changes. That's all for this teaser, Angry Planet listeners. If you liked what you heard here, you can listen to the whole thing right now by going to angryplanetpod.com. $9 a month will also get you some bonus articles and a commercial-free version of the Mainline Show, as well as every single bonus episode we've ever done. We've got some really exciting things coming this month. We'll be excited to have you along for the ride. We will be back tomorrow with a full-length conversation about conflict on an angry planet that's for everybody. It is also about me, from a Haitian.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.